All right, let's jump right in, ready to explore some prophets with me.
Always.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into the world of the Old Testament prophets, specifically the minor prophets. We're focusing on a lecture by Dr. Gary Ewings to help us understand what's often misunderstood about these figures and to see why they matter even today.
Yeah, they're often kind of reduced to just fire and brimstone preachers.
Right, but they're way more complex than that.
Way more.
So were they just fortune tellers, or was there a deeper message?
Well, one thing Dr. Yates emphasizes is that these prophets weren't just speaking randomly. You know, they were messengers of God's covenant.
Covenants.
Yeah, those binding agreements between God and his people.
Oh, right, like a cosmic contract.
Exactly, like the one with Abraham promising him descendants as numerous as the stars.
Okay, yeah, I remember that one.
But there's also the Mosaic covenant. That one's really important here.
Why is that?
It lays out the blessings for obedience and the curses for disobedience.
Oh, interesting.
And this becomes like the framework for a lot of what the prophets are talking about.
So they were holding up this covenant, saying, hey, remember this agreement, look where you're falling short.
You got it. And that's why understanding the Mosaic covenant is crucial for understanding the prophets.
Gotcha.
For example, take the prophet Amos. He pronounces all these judgments on the northern kingdom.
Like what?
Famine, drought, blight, even defeat in war.
Whoa, those are some serious consequences.
They are intense. And they're not random punishments. They're directly tied to the curses outlined in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28.
Ah, so it wasn't just God zapping people out of nowhere?
No, there's a logic to it, a connection back to this agreement that was broken.
Cause and effect.
Right. And Amos doesn't hold back. You know, he uses really vivid imagery to drive home the point. He talks about cleanness of teeth, but he's not talking about dental hygiene.
Wait, what?
He's describing the horrors of famine. People so desperate for food, they have nothing left to chew.
Wow, that's a powerful image, and a lot more vivid than just saying, thus saith the Lord.
Absolutely. It highlights how these prophets were masters of language, using all these symbols and metaphors to shake people out of their complacency.
Dr. Yates calls the prophets watchmen. It's a great analogy. I picture someone standing on a city wall, scanning for danger.
Exactly. They were warning the people about the consequences of their actions, the danger they couldn't see, or maybe didn't want to see.
It makes me think about when Hurricane David hit. I was in Florida, young and foolish, thinking I'd watch the storm from the beach.
Oh my gosh, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, thankfully this policeman saw me and was like, get off the beach. No time for politeness, it was life or death.
And that's what's so powerful about the watchman analogy, right?
Totally.
The prophets weren't just offering friendly advice, they were delivering urgent warnings because the stakes were high.
Like, super high? And you can feel that urgency in Ezekiel 33, where it talks about the prophet's responsibility to warn the wicked. It says, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand.
Whoa, that's intense. So the prophets were under a lot of pressure. They had to speak up, even if people didn't want to hear it.
Wow. Yeah, they had a huge responsibility. It wasn't just about condemning people. It was about offering them a chance to turn back, to avoid judgment.
Exactly. That's a really important point.
So there's this tension between warning and hope.
Yeah, exactly. They're highlighting the consequences of sin, but also pointing towards a way out.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Right. There's always this glimmer of hope, but it depends on how people respond.
So how does that hope play out in their message? Is it just repent and be saved or something more?
That's a great question, and that's where things get really interesting. We'll dig into that more in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, so that tension between, like, warning and hope?
Yeah.
It's a pretty powerful concept.
Yeah, it speaks to the complexity of God's character, you know?
Like, he's just, but also merciful.
Right.
Angry at sin, but wants his people to come back to him.
It's like a loving parent disciplining a child because they want what's best.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's tough, you know?
Makes sense.
And you see this in Hosea 11. God says,
Hosea.
Yeah, Hosea 11. God says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender.
Wow, that's
like raw emotion right there.
It really is. You could feel that heartbreak.
It's not an angry God who enjoys punishing. It's a God who deeply loves.
Yeah, a God who longs for his people.
And that's the point. Judgment wasn't the goal. It was always about restoration.
Okay, so what does restoration actually look like?
Well, that's where hesed comes in.
Hesed, what's that?
It's often translated as steadfast love or love and kindness.
Okay.
But it's way deeper than that.
How so?
It's this covenant loyalty, unwavering commitment from God to his people.
Even when they mess up.
even when they break his heart.
So it's more than a feeling.
Absolutely, it's an action.
A commitment, like a verb.
Precisely.
Interesting.
And you see that hest in Achan when Od promises restoration.
Like what kind of restoration?
Not just physically back to the land, but spiritually and relationally too.
Ah, I see.
It's about rebuilding that broken covenant, you know, renewing that connection.
This reminds me of that part in Jeremiah 30 where it talks about the nation's wounds, saying they're incurable, totally hopeless.
Right.
It's heavy stuff.
It is, but then there's this turn.
What do you mean?
God says, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal."
Wow.
It's a total reversal. God steps in with this amazing grace.
Yeah, promising to heal, restore, make things whole again.
Like the sun breaking through the clouds.
Yeah, a glimmer of light.
And that's chesed, that persistent love.
That pursues us even when we don't deserve it.
Offering hope even when we're in despair.
So even in those harsh warnings, there's this hope, this promise of restoration. Because of God's hest.
Exactly. It's always there.
Okay, so Dr. Yates also talks about the post-exilic prophets.
Yes.
The ones who came after the exile.
Right, so they're back in the land.
They're home.
But there's still work to do.
You mean like they spent so long in Babylon?
Decades.
Their culture, their faith was influenced by their captors?
For sure. Returning home didn't fix everything.
Like going back to a relationship after a separation. You know, you're physically there. But
if the trust is the...
If the commitment isn't there, it's not really restored.
Exactly. And that's why prophets like Haggai and Zechariah had to challenge them...
To, like, rebuild.
To rebuild the temple, yeah, and to put God first again.
So being back in the land wasn't enough.
Their hearts needed to return to.
Right. So were the prophets pointing to an even bigger restoration then?
A future one, for sure.
Okay.
Like in Zechariah 8.7-8, where God says he'll bring them back, not just from east and west, but from all the nations.
Wow.
And in verses 20, 23, there's this incredible vision of people from all nations coming to Jerusalem.
Drawn by God's presence.
It starts with Abraham, then Israel, and then it goes out to all humanity.
That's a pretty big ripple effect.
God's plan of redemption isn't limited.
It's this grand story that unfolds throughout history.
It's pretty amazing.
So we've talked about these prophets as messengers, watchmen, voices of both judgment and restoration.
It's a lot.
It is, but there are also a lot of misconceptions about them, right?
Oh, absolutely. Some really big ones.
I bet.
Dr. Yates tackles four of them head on.
Okay, let's hear it. What's the first one? So those misconceptions about the prophets.
Yeah.
What's the first one?
Well, there's this idea that they were just hysterical babblers.
Really?
Yeah, like ranting and raving with no real message.
Like the wild-eyed doom and gloom guys?
Exactly.
I guess I can see how people might think that.
But Dr. Yates says no, they were skilled communicators.
Huh.
Their message was rooted in God's word. They weren't just emotional. They had a carefully crafted message.
So not just random ranting.
Nope. And they even used clever strategies.
Like what?
Well, look at Amos.
Okay.
He went from the southern kingdom to preach in the northern kingdom.
That's bold.
Very bold.
What happened?
He starts by talking about judgments on the surrounding nations.
Okay.
And you can almost imagine the people listening thinking, yeah, those guys deserve it.
Right.
But then he turns it around and announces God's judgment on them.
Oh, that's smart.
Right. He kind of lulled them into a false sense of security.
And then bam.
Exactly. It shows how he understood his audience.
He was a clever guy.
He was.
Okay. So what's the second misconception?
This one's pretty common, that the prophets were just angry messengers of an angry God.
Yeah, the God who just wants to punish.
That's the one.
And I get why people struggle with that.
I do too.
It's hard to see a loving God in those harsh judgments.
But you have to understand both God's wrath and his love.
Okay.
They conveyed his anger, yes, but it was motivated by love.
A love that wanted them to turn away from their sin.
To experience his blessings.
Right, like we were talking about with Hosea.
Exactly. God's compassion is always there.
Even when he's giving warnings.
And we can't forget the context.
What do you mean?
These prophets were speaking to a nation that was far from perfect.
Like how so?
Idolatry, injustice, spiritual apathy. It was everywhere.
So their warnings, as harsh as they were.
They were a wake-up call.
To turn back to God.
And to avoid those consequences.
It wasn't about revenge. It was about love.
It was about guiding them back to the right path.
Okay, so what about predicting the future?
Yes, that's another big misconception.
A lot of people see the prophets as like fortune tellers.
Right, giving us a timeline of the end times.
And, I mean, they did talk about the future.
They did, but their main focus was on their own time.
So it wasn't about decoding secret messages.
It was about applying God's word to the problems they were facing.
Like the everyday stuff.
Exactly. And those issues, idolatry, injustice, empty worship.
Those are still problems today.
It's like history repeating itself.
It's kind of scary when you think about it.
It is a little bit, right? So most of what they read was for their immediate audience.
And that leads us to the fourth misconception, which is that the prophets are just too hard to understand.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
The language is old, the imagery is strange.
It can be tough to connect it to today.
But Dr. Yates says if you understand their message in context,
it actually makes them easier to understand.
Interesting.
It's not about matching every detail to some future event.
Okay.
It's about getting those big themes, idolatry, justice, worship, those kinds of things.
So those universal truths still apply to us.
Exactly. You start to see the language and symbols in a new light.
Less about decoding, more about feeling it in your heart.
That's it.
So we've talked about these misconceptions, but why should we even care about the prophets?
Yeah, what can they teach us today?
They lived so long ago.
Dr. Yates asks, what would be missing from our faith if we ignored these books?
That's a good question.
It makes you think, right?
It does. What do you think?
I think they show us God more fully.
Okay.
His holiness, his justice, his incredible love.
All of it.
And they challenge us to examine ourselves.
To live up to God's standards.
To have a real faith that impacts the world.
It's not just about rules. It's about a relationship with God.
A changed heart.
And there's hope, too.
Oh, yeah.
In a world that feels so messed up.
They remind us that God is faithful. He's working everything out.
That there's always a way back to him.
Even when we mess up.
That's a good reminder.
So what's one thing you want our listeners to take away from this?
Good question.
I want them to remember that the prophet's message isn't just ancient history.
Okay.
It's a living word that speaks to us today.
About idolatry, justice, true faith.
It's a call to action.
And a reminder that God is still speaking.
He's inviting us to be part of his story.
That's a powerful thought.
Dr. Gates leaves his listeners with this question.
What's that?
He says the prophets are going to focus on three major issues: idolatry, social justice, and insincere and false worship. We have those same issues in the church today. Which one stands out to you? What would the prophets say to you about it?
Wow, that's a lot to think about.
It is.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you've learned something new about the prophets.
And that you'll keep exploring their message.
Thanks for listening.